So here we are on Thursday. Good morning. Welcome to another week of Rebuilding Business, a series of interviews with highly acclaimed entrepreneurs and leaders in their fields to help you to learn from their outstanding experience. And we're offering bite-sized coffee break interviews every day of the week with our specialist, who happens to be this week, the wonderful Chris Brindley, MBE. My fourth day of interviewing him. I've had such a great week. I just want to share some of your accolades, Chris, if that's okay. So, Britain's Best Boss, leader of the Most Outstanding Workplace at the National Business Awards, Sales and Marketing Director of the Year, 3 years on the trot, 2017 awarded the United Kingdom Non-Exec of the Year by the Institute of Directors. This man, honestly, if he as a captain of industry, if everybody had a medal, you'd need to have one of those sort of big Russian epaulette things, wouldn't you, that would go out to here. Lovely to see you.
the awards are nice, but that's not why I do what I do, Lily. So you tend to find that my medals are in the sock drawer.
No, I absolutely know that. And obviously, with leading NatWest, leading with so many different banks, so many different organisations, you're heading up the 2021 Rugby League World Cup. So that sort of must weigh quite heavy on your shoulders. You are really pragmatic, isn't it? You love team success. It's all about the team. It's not all about you.
Absolutely. It's windows and mirrors. When it goes well, I'll look out the window and make sure everybody in the team gets the praise. When it doesn't go well, I make sure I look in the mirror and ask myself some questions. Sadly, I've met some leaders who get it the other way around, but when it goes well, they look in the mirror and tell themselves how brilliant they are. And when it goes wrong, they look out the window and blame everyone else. So maybe that's a good lesson for us all to apply the right windows and mirrors strategy.
I love that, actually. I have had one of those bosses, and it's in some ways you learn more from terrible bosses occasionally than you do from good bosses, because you just go, I would never do that, don't you? I would never do that. Yes. So I love that windows and mirrors metaphor. Fantastic. Now we've been talking about teams, haven't we, earlier on this week, but I wanted to talk about actually the individuals, okay? Because people are so different. As a behavioral strategist, and people go, oh, bloody hell, you know, I'm doing this, and I keep telling them that, and I keep telling them that, and I just think people aren't pieces of two before.
Yeah.
People have got very different motivations, very different personalities, and we have to be really adaptable. Talk to me just about how you get the best from the individuals that you've worked with.
Firstly, it's having an understanding, just as you said there, Lily, that we are all different. And it's fascinating that the word motivation gets bandied about. And when I ask people for a really, really simple definition of what they mean by motivation, a lot of people really struggle. And they give me lots of words. The Latin meaning of motivation is motive for action. And therefore, I ask every leader, I encourage every leader to ask their teams and their individuals in particular, what is it that motivates you? Because motivation is different for different people. I am proud to be a trustee of a charity. People don't come to work at our charity for money. They just don't. People typically don't work in grassroots sport for money. They do it to make a difference to people's lives. That's their motivation. But when I sort of started work, I did work for security and money. That's why I joined a bank. It was about security. People who go self-employed, they're not motivated by security. They're motivated by growing something that they want to be responsible for doing. So I ask a simple question is, if I ask you to write down all of your team members and then write the three things that you think motivate them in the priority order, would your three that you've written down match the same three that the individual would tell you in answer to your question?
I love that. You're absolutely right, because what they think is so often so far off what people come up with.
I'll give you a really simple example. I was fortunate to lead a sales team that did well. And my boss, because he quite frankly couldn't be bothered to find out what motivated me, and was a bit lazy in the reward world, used to just pull out a bottle of champagne from his office, and he had boxes of it, and he'd come and go, well done, Chris, there's a bottle of champagne. Problem is, don't like champagne. So you'd sit there and completely demotivate me. And yeah. I'd sit there and go, you know what? It was a good intention. But if you'd have bothered just to find out that actually my preferred tipple is New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, And the reality is, it's cheaper than champagne, and it would have made a more positive difference. And it just gets me, you know, reminds me of the model of that Hertzberg, Frederick Hertzberg, did so many years ago, which is about really understanding what motivates people. And mm-hmm. often it's not job title or money. It's actually about reward and recognition. In terms of reward, might be a thank you. It's about personal achievement. It's about growth. It's about caring about your family. And, you know, one of the things I did at NatWest, first of all, and I've carried on in Edward with business, was if you've got children of primary school age, I used to insist you went to their sports day.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to book holiday or time off. Actually, I just wanted you to be able to go to something that I knew your child would want you at. And it's not difficult to plan because sports days are in the summer. And if I'm going to make a prediction, Lily, which I truly believe will come true, I think nativity plays this year will be in December.
Christmas tends to be, don't they?
So you can't even say it's tough to plan. So finding out what motivates individuals and never assuming, I think, is really important. And Hertzberg, for me, is just the best model that I carry around in terms of motivating individuals.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, I've been to too many people where they've asked me to come in because they've got an underperforming manager or director, and they've said, I've given him a pay rise, he's got a new car, he's got health insurance, what more does he want? And you just think, you have no idea what's important to that individual. Because if it was all about money, people who climbed Everest would never climb a mountain again, would they? Because, you know, you don't get paid to do that. You're freezing, you lose your toes. I've been really lucky to work with Ranulph Fiennes and a number of other explorers, and you just think, why would you do that? But you have to get underneath the skin and find out what really makes that person tick. But I want to ask you, because we talk about that need for motivation, and we also talk about what's the attitude, are the values right? But is that enough to maximise performance?
No, it's not. It has to be a blend. It has to be a blend of personal qualities, but you have to be technically competent at the role you're expected to do. And having one or the other in isolation doesn't necessarily mean success. And I'll give you a great example, Lily. I've never played golf in my life, never. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm competitive. I'm motivated. I even know the rules of the game. And I watched the Masters the other night. And what's fascinating is, despite the fact I've got a positive attitude, I'm competitive, and I've been motivated, I could not go around a golf course in 72 strokes because I've got no technical quality. And the balls would zip into any bit of water or any bit of woods. But likewise, I know people who've got really, really good technical qualities, but actually they haven't got the personal qualities of desire, flexibility, commitment, teachability, and that's a big thing. So I think you have to have a blend of personal qualities, technical competence, and then to be really, really successful, you have to create a habit of doing it consistently well. And that is correct and frequent practice. And if you get feedback on top of that from a good coach, then actually your performance is always going to be the best it can be. So it's not just about being motivated. There's other things that play as well.
Can we talk about that feedback, actually? Because I don't know if you've noticed. Actually, I did this with NatWest a few weeks ago. We had a woman on telephone banking who was absolutely fantastic. She was so helpful. The bank had made a mistake, but she was brilliant at correcting it. And I said to her, can I just give to you some feedback? And I could literally hear this sharp intake of breath of you know that you could tell she was nervous about getting the feedback. And she said, yes, of course. And then I told her how fantastic she was and how she'd made my life so much easier. And you could almost hear her and feel her beaming with pride. You know, I knew that that had made her day, but she had made mine in the first instance. What is it about feedback that makes people so fearful? And what is it that makes people so rubbish at giving it?
It's fascinating. We talked yesterday, didn't we, about what culture do you want in your business? Either a culture of never missing the opportunity to tell somebody when they've done it wrong versus the opportunity to tell people when they're doing it right. And let's be honest. Sadly, it's the culture of getting it wrong that pervades in many businesses. And therefore, when an individual hears that word feedback or constructive criticism, They just know somebody's going to tell them about a time where they got it wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas actually we should be telling and reaffirming people, because praise brings more of the same.
Yes.
So yes. Sadly, people have had poor experiences of feedback. So therefore, when the word's mentioned, what do? The brain takes them back to the time that they last got the feedback, and they go, oh shit,
yeah.
This isn't going to be a good experience. Whereas actually what you've done, Lily, and I know you do it all the time, is you recognise consistently experiences that are really good, and you tell people. And isn't it wonderful when somebody says you've done something really well? Because what you now do is, if you repeat that, you know that's going to have the same impact on other people. So actually feedback is about affirming good performance. Why would you miss an opportunity to say thank you and well done to somebody that you know have made you feel good and actually have corrected an issue? And feedback, if sometimes people go, how do you deal with conflict? Conflict isn't conflict. If you're giving somebody feedback to make them better at who they are and what they do and avoid them going down the wrong track. So if you don't care about people, don't give them feedback. If you truly care about people, give them feedback, even if it isn't feedback that's going to make them feel good. Now, it might be feedback that they look back on and go, I'm so glad my boss, my mum, had that word with me, because it corrected a path that I'm glad I didn't go down.
Yeah, and I love that. The spirit of, if you go in with the intention of wanting that person to be brilliant, you can't go far wrong, can you, ultimately?
No, you can't. You can't, and do it now. Don't wait for a 6-month appraisal. You know,
yes.
Help people be better at who they are and what they do. That's what great coaches do. And I think every leader is the head coach.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, on the head coach, from the head coach, I'm going to move on. We'll speak to you tomorrow. And we're going to look at what the future holds. I'm really excited to find out about this with you. I'm interested to see if your crystal ball has still got batteries. And we'll run through that tomorrow on our last day. Great to see you, Chris.
Oh, thank you, Lily. Great to chat.
See you in the morning.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.